Welcome back. My name is Avi Heller, and we are studying together Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are in the middle of Daf Vav, really right, Daf Vav Amud Aleph, 6a. We're right in the middle. If you look on the left of your Gemara page, you'll see that there is a commentary all the way off to the left margin called Gilyon HaShas. We are right across from the bottom line of the Gilyon HaShas, where it says Amar Rabbi Abahu. Okay, give you a second to orient there. And we have been talking about place names, and we're going to continue to do that. I'm going to go pretty quickly through this, even though it's kind of interesting. It is all sort of random and on the side. So there's a lot of interesting stuff there, but it doesn't deal directly with the major part of our tractate. Amar Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu said, Ve'ekron Teakar. There is a verse in the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 2, that says that Ekron in the future will be uprooted. And it's interesting, in this chapter it also mentions the town of Rakat, which is what we were discussing yesterday, is Tveria. So in the future, this town of Ekron will be uprooted. What is this town of Ekron? It was a Philistine, it was a Philistine town, Plishti, Palestinian. Zu Kesari Bat Edom. This is the town of Caesarea, which still exists today. It's a beautiful place to visit on the west coast of Israel. This is the Caesarea of Edom. Shehi Yoshevet Ben Acholot, which dwells among the sands, that is, it's near the beaches. Vihi Haita Yated Tikua Li Israel, and it was a thorn or a peg stuck in Israel, meaning like a thorn in the side of Israel, Bimei Vanim, in the times of the Greeks. Uchshegavra Malchut Beit Chashmonai, and when the Hasmonean kings, after the story of Chanukah, became ascendant, V'nitzchum, they conquered the city of Caesarea, Hayu Korinota, and they called it a different name, Achidat Migdal Shir, the unification of the Tower of Song. This is a very strange language, and there's a lot of different girsas here, and nobody knows what this means. Some people say it should say instead Migdal Tzur, the Tower of Stone. Some people say it's just Migdal Shade, the haunted tower, the tower of demons. And there are a number of different options and what it means. We do not know. But, you know, sometimes when you conquer a place, you give it a new name, and that's what they did. We'll have to look into it more. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, "My dichtiv, what is written in this verse?" This is a totally new verse. This verse is from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 7, Perek Tet Pasuk Zayin. And there it says, "Vahasirot." It's also talking about what's going to happen in the future. "Vahasiroti damav mipiv." I will remove his blood from his mouth. "Veshikutzav mibein shinav," and the disgusting things, the shreds of meat from between his teeth. "Venishar gamhu lelukenu," and he will remain also to our God. So this is in the future, this nation will be judged. And these are the three things that Hashem is going to do to them. So what do the three things mean? Vasiroti damav mipiv, if I will remove his blood from his mouth, ze beit bamya shelahen, this refers to a house of idol worship that was theirs. And again, this word bamya, Rashi has it in a different girsa, that instead of bamya, it says beit karya, but whatever it means a place of idol worship. Veshikutzav mibein shinav, and his shreds of meat, disgusting meat from between his teeth. Ze beit galya shelahen, this is the house of galya of theirs, which is also some kind of pagan worship. Vinishar gamhu lelukenu, and he will also remain to our God. Elu batei knesiot ubatei midrashot shebe'edom. These are the shuls and the study halls, the yeshivas that were in Edom. In other words, in the future, Hashem will tear down all of the places of idol worship, but he'll leave the shuls and the batei midrash. Now then, the rest of the pasuk, the continuation of the pasuk says, Ve'aya ke'aluf bihuda, he will be like a champion in Judah, ve'ekron kivusi, and Ekron will be like Yevusi. So he says, Elu triatriot v'kirkasiot shebe'edom. This refers to the theaters and the circuses, and they're a little different than our theaters and circuses, more bloody and more pagan, but they were places of public spectacle in Edom. Those places, she'atidin sarei Yehuda lilmod bahen Torah barabim. In the future, the the princes of Judah will teach Torah in these giant theaters and circus halls. In the places that used to be for blood sport, they will teach Torah. And it's, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, American football is not a blood sport in the way that the Roman practices were. But when you have like a Siyum HaShas in a giant stadium and you have thousands and thousands of people studying Torah instead of watching a football game, makes you think of this statement. One other thing to add to this is when it says that Ekron will be like Yevusi, Yevusi, says Rashi, refers to the city of Jerusalem, of Yerushalayim. And it's true that when Yevusi was a pagan city, there was a period of time when Jerusalem was a pagan city. It was renamed Yevus, and Jews were not allowed to enter. So it's not really a nice name for Jerusalem, but what he's saying is that Ekron will become like Jerusalem in the sense that lots of Torah will be taught there. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, L'shem zu pamayas. In this same way will be pamyas. Hold on. Let's see what that means, because I do not remember what it means. So I'm going to just look up here for a second. I apologize. Of course, I make a mistake. The word is Leshem. Rabbi Yitzchak is taking another city name, which is named Leshem, and he says Leshem is Pamyas. Ekron Teakar, when it says that Ekron will be uprooted, Zu Kesari Bat Edom, this is Caesarea of Edom, Shehi Haita Metropolin Shel Melachim, which was the metropolis of kings. Now Rashi, this is an interesting word. This word, we know this word, metropolis. We use it to refer to a giant city. Rashi identifies it partially correctly and partially incorrectly. He identifies the metro part of metropolitan as referring to mother, which it does. And the polin part, he identifies it as the line of kingship. But we know that it's like polis. It means people. So metropolitan, the real origin of it, it means mother city. It's the mother city of an empire. So we refer to it nowadays as a giant city. It was probably one of their larger cities too. But Caesarea was the city of the king, which we know it was, but it was a large city, so he called it a metropolitan. Ika de Amri, there are some who say it differently, de Marbi Ma Malki, that it had many kings there. The Ika de Amri, and there are some who say, de Mokmi Mina Malke Kisari Vushalayim, that the kings of Caesarea and Jerusalem were established there. In other words, it was the mother city. Now, we have a tradition, a Talmudic tradition, that Edom refers to Esav, which it does in the Torah, and that Esav and Edom are associated with Christian empires. Once, by the time of the Talmud, Christianity was developing, and we associate Edom with Rome and then becoming Christianity. So there is an idea that these two ideas, Judaism and Christianity, or Judaism and Edom, are nemeses of each other. And while one can survive, the other has to go down. And when the other one goes up, the other one goes down. So the Talmud says, Im yomar lecha adam charvu shtehen, if someone will tell you that both Edom and Yerushalayim have been destroyed, al tamein, don't believe them. If someone will say, yashvu shtehen, that both Rome and Yerushalayim are, or both Edom and Yerushalayim are built up, al tamein, don't believe them. Charva Kesari v'yashvi Yerushalayim, if they'll tell you that Kesari, representing Edom, is destroyed and Yerushalayim is inhabited, Charva Yerushalayim is destroyed v'yashva Kesari, and Kesari is inhabited, Tamein, then you can believe them. Shenemar, as it says, and this quote is a verse from Yechezkel chapter 26, verse 2, Perek Chavav Pasuk Bed, and you can see at least the chapters on the right side of the page, squeezed in between the Gemara and Rashi. It tells you all the chapters. I'm going to give you the verses as well. The end of this verse, verse 2, says, Im al'a hacharava. The way it understands it is, when I am filled up, from the word malay, hacharava, it is destroyed. And this is in the language of the empire, saying, when Jerusalem is destroyed, I will feel filled up. Im maleyazu, if this one is full, charivazu, then this one is destroyed. Im maleyazu, if that one is full, charivazu, then this one is destroyed. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar mehacha. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak learns the same teaching, that only one of them can be on top at a time, but he learns it from the story of Yaakov, where Yaakov and Esav, as I mentioned, Esav and Edom are related in Talmudic thought. and they're struggling in the belly of Rivka, and Hashem comes to Rivka and says, Ula'om mil'om mi'ematz, one nation will be more powerful than the other nation. In other words, between Yaakov and Esav, only one can be ascendant at a time. Okay, now we move on to another verse which is similar and related, but again, a little bit random. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Mai dichtiv, what does it mean that it's written? And this now is in the book of Yeshayahu, of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 10. So, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yud. I'm just going to flip there. 26, Yud. Okay. And the Pasuk reads in full like this. Yuchan Rasha, if the wicked one is given chen, is given favor, Bal Lamad Tzedek, he will never learn righteousness. Be'eretz Nechochot Yavel, he will go to another nearby place to do his wicked deeds. U'bal Yir'eh Ge'ut Hashem, and he will never see the pride of Hashem. In other words, what this verse is saying is that if you're lenient to a wicked person, he'll just move from one place to another to do his wickedness. So this is how the Gemara understands it. Yuchan Rasha Balama Tzedek. Instead of just interpreting it, it imagines a story between Yitzhak and Hashem. Amar Yitzhak Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzhak said before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Yuchan, have mercy. And what he means is have mercy on Esav. After all, Esav was his son and he loved him. Amar Lo, but Hashem said back to him, Rasha Hu, he is a wicked person, so I shouldn't have mercy on him. Amar Lo, Baal Lamad Tzedek, perhaps he could learn righteousness. You know, maybe he can become a better person. Amar Lo, Hashem said back to him, Be'aretz Nochochot Yavel. No, he'll just go and destroy you. And Rashi says what it means is he'll destroy Yerushalayim if I don't kill him. Amar Lo, Im Kain, if that's so, Baal Yireh Geut Hashem. He will never see the pride of Hashem. In other words, it sounds to me like Yitzchak is saying, nonetheless, I still want you to have mercy on my son. So that's what it says. And there is an interesting question about that. When can a wicked person be taught not to be a wicked person? And when is it just, tempting fate that he'll come back and hurt you? It's not an easy question. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak gave another teaching. Ma'i dichtiv, what's written? This is in the book of Psalms, 140, verse 9, Kuf Mem Pasuk Tet. It says, Al titein Hashem me'avyei rasha. Hashem shall not give the desire of the wicked person. Zmamo al tafek yarumu sela. Now, the Gemara wants to understand, zmamo could mean his plans, like an eid zomeim is a plan, who is someone who makes a plan. Usually in the Torah, lizameim means to hatch a scheme. But here the Gemara is going to understand this as, and Rashi explains, as a nose ring, that you should not take out his nose ring, that the nose ring is put in the animal's nose, and that's how you can lead it around and make it do what you want to do. And if you take out the nose ring, then you don't have any control over the animal. Amar Yaakov, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yaakov says before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Al Titein Le'esav HaRasha Atavat Libo, don't let Esav, the wicked one, do the desires of his heart. And then the second part of the verse is Mamo al tafek, do not take out his nose ring. We're now flipping to Vav Amud Bet. We're just going to do the beginning to finish this idea. Zu Germania shel Edom. This refers to Germania of Edom. They like to quote this section in the Discovery seminars as an example of some kind of like Talmudic prophecy that one day Germany will come out and destroy the world, like it almost did in the times of World War II and the Holocaust. However, that's a little unlikely. I mean, it's an interesting reading, but long before there was a country that we know called Germany, there was an area called Germania, which was in Europe, but it wasn't the Germans that we know. It was a country in the time of the Roman Empire, and it had different people and different culture. But in any case, we have this. There is this Talmudic tradition about Germania. She'umalei heini yotzin, that if they were to go out of their country, macharivin kol olam kulo, they could destroy the whole world. You could see why you might want to interpret that as relating to Nazi Germany. V'amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, and Rabbi Chama said, the son of Chanina said, Tlat mea ketire taga ika biger mamia shel edom. Tlat is three in Aramaic. In Hebrew, it's shalosh, and you just have to switch in Aramaic and Hebrew, the shin goes to a taf. So instead of shalosh, it becomes tlat. So tlat mea means 300. Ketire taga means wearers of the crown, 300 nobles, are in Germania of Edom. Utlat mea v'shitin v'chamisha, and there are 365, obviously corresponding to the days of the year, marzavne ika beromi, and there are 365 nobles of some kind, that to me sounds like a Persian word, but that are in Rome. So you have 300 Germanians, and you have 365 Romans. Uvechol yoma nafkehane la'apehane. And every day they go out to fight each other. They go out opposite each other. Umatil chad minayu. And one of them is killed. Now, I don't know if that means one noble is killed or one side is killed, and then the next day, like Groundhog Day, it repeats. But in any case, they're constantly killing each other. Umitarde, this is what prevents them, l'ukme malka, from establishing a kingship. So this parable, this strange parable, is saying that if Rome and Germania would stop fighting with each other, they could create a global empire. But because every day they go out to fight each other and they're constantly killing each other, that's the only reason why they don't go out and destroy the world. And this is how Hashem has prevented the wicked of Esav from having his way, and by leading them to fight each other, he leads them like as if they have a nose ring. He goads them to fight each other instead of fighting the rest of the world. We're going to stop there. Have a wonderful day.